ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मा विद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मा विद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुवन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिओम। सो इन द फिफ्थ चैप्टर वी हैव स्टडीड थ्री आइडियाज और थ्री टर्म्स। इन द फिफ्थ चैप्टर थ्री टर्म्स वी हैव स्टडीड योग संन्यास एंड सांख्य। योग इज कर्म योग वेर आई वर्क फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ ऑल एज अ एजेंट ऑफ द लॉर्ड विदाउट any I or my, without any doership. Sannyas is renunciation, where I give up worldly pursuits, or at least I reduce my activity in the world and spend more time in study, contemplation, and meditation upon the Lord, and turn my mind upwards. And it can, sannyas can be, as we will also study today, by change of clothes or by change of your thinking. Not necessary that sannyasi has to have orange clothes, and we'll discuss that today in some more detail. And then Bhagwan told us about Sankhya. Sankhya is the highest knowledge, which is I am that, that consciousness alone is, and that is my true nature. And how I can stay with that, we had discussed that last week. The difference between yoga, sannyas, and sankhya. They are not three separate things, but they are serially to be practiced. One does karma yoga, gets renunciation, and along the way gets the highest knowledge. It does not mean that I won't get knowledge until I have done all the steps. It is a work together to achieve the highest. And that's what Bhagavan says, both, all of them, Nishreyas, Karo, they take us to the highest. And as Bhagavan said, whatever Sankhya take us, yogas also. So they all take us to the same goal, which is Brahman, which is my true nature. But it is a stepwise progression. Now Bhagavan will explain a little more in verse number 6, chapter 5, verse number 6. What is this sannyasa? What exactly is, and how one can reach the highest? And then in 7, 8, and 9, which we will cover today, how men of wisdom, 7 is a stepwise evolution, and 8 and 9 is how man of wisdom, man of course includes woman, how a person who is wise works in the world. So we chant shloka number 6. Chapter 5, shloka 6. Sannyasastu
Mahabaho.
Sannyasastu Mahabaho. Dukkhamaptumayogatah.
Dukkhamaptumayogatah.
Yoga yukto
Yoga yukto
munir brahma nachirenadhigacchati.
nachirenadhigacchati.
Together, sannyasastu mahabaho dukkhamaptumayogatah yoga yukto munir brahma nachirenadhigacchati. So what is sannyas? Sannyas, tu means but. O sannyas, O Mahabaho, O great warrior. Why he addresses him as great warrior? Because Arjuna had fought a lot of battles in his life and always won, never was defeated. But today, Bhagavan says, your battle is against your mind. You are confused and you are deluded and you have become very emotional. So your conflict is against your mind and intellect, which is going in the wrong direction. You have to control it and bring it back. So how sannyas, but sannyas, oh great warrior, dukkham aptum ayogata. Dukkham, it is difficult. Dukkham here means difficult. Aptum means to reach, to attain. Ayogata, one who has not practiced yoga, for him or her, sannyas is very difficult to obtain. But how about if I practice yoga? Somebody asked Bhagwan, how about if I practice yoga and do all these things? Then Bhagwan says in the second line, yoga yuktaha munihi brahma. Yoga yuktaha, but one who practices yoga, and what is yoga, we'll talk about. And who connects himself or herself always with Bhagavan, with the higher, such a muni, such a contemplative sage. Muni means one who thinks, contemplates. Muni does not mean somebody wearing particular clothes or having a long beard, but one who can contemplate upon this knowledge. What happens to them? Brahma. Na achirena adhigacchati. Brahma, he reaches Brahma. Na achirena, not with too much delay. Chira means delay. Achira means without too much delay, the person reaches. So sannyas has to be practiced with yoga, and one who practices yoga and sannyas and contemplates upon this knowledge without too much delay reaches the highest. So sannyas, we always think, as we have talked before, that somebody wears orange clothes, grows long beard, goes to the forest and meditates and has nothing to do with the world. But Bhagwan in this says that yoga is giving up the fruit of actions. What will I get? That is yoga, that I do not worry about what I will get, but what I can give. And we had covered that in detail last week. And sannyas is the next step where I give up even the sense of doership, that I am doing it, that even that goes away. And that is sannyas. So yoga is giving up the fruit. Sannyas is giving up the doership and working as an instrument of the Lord. And of course, in that process, one has to study and then take us to Sankhya, which is the highest knowledge. So it is a stepwise progression. And what do I give up? I give up whatever I own, whatever I think as me or mine, I give that up. What do we mean by give that up? And what do we mean by mine? So say I go with you to a friend's house, together two of us go. And the friend greets us and then he's inside making coffee or tea or something. And there is a beautiful vase lying there. So I tell you, you can take this vase. Vase doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my friend who is in the kitchen. So I say, you can have the vase. You can't do that. I only can give up what I own. If there is something that is mine, I can give up. I cannot give up something that belongs to the other. So what is it that is mine that I should give up? So what I own is the ego. And that ego manifests as desires. So people, while they take sannyas or take, you know, renounce, they give up responsibilities. You know, that from now on, I have less responsibilities to the world, to my family, and more responsibilities in trying to know God, to study and to reach the higher. That is sannyas. And there are different times we take sannyas. We'll talk about that. So you have to give up these responsibilities and you also have to give up desires. You cannot hold on to desires and give up responsibilities. And unfortunately, that happens. Somebody takes sannyas. He or she gives up the world, but still has a lot of desires to possess. Physical desires, sensual desires, desires for material things. Those have not been given up. And we find, unfortunately, when such things happen, then even people who are monks or priests and all, they sometimes do wrong things because they have not given up their desires. They have given up responsibilities. Or some of them we find, even though they are monks or priests, but their main goal is how much followers I will have, how much money I will have. They fly in airplanes and chartered planes and have big houses. So you have to give up both responsibilities and desires and reduce your vasanas. How do we reduce vasanas? So Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully. He says you have a silver vessel, you know, beautiful silver bowl. And over the years, it has got covered with white, with black dirt. You know, silver gets oxidized and it becomes black. So what do? You get a special polish and you scrub it, scrub it, scrub it. And ultimately, the polish, you wipe it off. It polish gets wiped off and that black also gets wiped off. And the bowl becomes shining new again. So similarly, our vasanas have to be, or the dirt upon us and has to be removed by polishing. How? By doing karma yoga, by having good thoughts, doing bhakti, constantly remembering the Lord and having the right knowledge. So all those things together is the polish that will remove my vasanas. Karma yoga, bhakti, jnana, all those things when they are applied and meditation that will destroy my vasanas, will polish it off. Now, what do we mean by retired? See, people talk about retirement or sannyas. So one sannyas, as we mentioned, is that at age 25, some young man or woman has graduated from college, as happens in the Chinmay Mission, and they go. They say, I want to go to Mumbai and study. So they go there, study for 2 years, put on yellow clothes and start working for the mission. and to serve society and learn and teach. Another sannyas happens when the world makes us take sannyas. And when is that? So when I turn 60 or 65, the world says, okay, we have now, you know, you have done enough for us, now you retire. And so forcefully we are asked to take sannyas. We say, okay, now you go, now we'll put a younger man in your place, a younger woman. So that sannyas, first one is voluntary. Here it is involuntary. The world asks us to leave. So in that, what do people do? They say, oh, I'm going to have fun. I remember I met one guy at the gym. He had just retired. I think I mentioned that before also. And he said, I'm going to come to the gym 7 days a week. That's all. I'm going to do a lot more to build my body. And there was another friend of mine who has been traveling. After retirement, he says, I want to visit every country in the world. And he has actually visited 150 countries. And there are only few small countries left. That's what my goal. I mean, those are good things, travel and all, but is that your only goal? Are you going to spend all your time, effort, money, everything in just building up the body or traveling or playing golf? I mean, those are good things. I'm not putting down golf, but that should not be your only goal or purpose, or having a lot of parties and, you know, I mean, a little bit of fun and entertainment is good, but how am I going to channel my mind towards the higher? That is the purpose of sannyas. Purpose of sannyas is not to give up worldly one activity of the world and take up another activity of the world itself. Then you have not progressed. And sannyas and karma yoga can be practiced best in the family, especially karma yoga. You know, they say, Sukham aptoma yoga tadri. How do I practice karma yoga? So it says start with the family, because that is the best place. That is the place you are there most of the time. How do we do that? Okay, today, you know, we went to a restaurant of my choice. You tell your spouse, tomorrow, next week, we'll go to a restaurant of your choice. Today on TV, we are watching this show, this program, which I like. Tomorrow we'll watch something you like. So sacrificing my likes and dislikes for members of the family, but it's not only my way or highway, but everyone's. So starts with the home, you know, starts with sacrificing, with sharing, with giving. And then only you can evolve outside. But people, there are some people who are great, you know, very famous social workers. But when it comes to the home, they are very rude, very, you know, very arrogant. Because why? Because they get all this glory in the world, so they neglect their family. So that is what is the true karma yoga, true sannyas. And Kena Upanishad says, you know, Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manoyat Vacho Ha Vacham Satu Prano Ha Pranaha. So he says, one who sees all the time what is the eye of the eye, what is the ear of the ear, what is the mind of the mind, one who sees that. So that means shift your attention not from the objects of the world to the eyes, and shift the attention from the eyes to the mind, and from the mind to the life principle, consciousness. So slowly detach. So that is sannyas, where you are giving less importance to the world and to this body, and more attention to God's presence within, because of which I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. That is the eye of the eye. And the speech of the speech means all my organs of action, my hands, my feet, my speech, my reproductive, excretory, all these organs are functioning because of Bhagwan's presence. So shifting the attention to Bhagwan's presence within. So that is sannyas, where our attention, which is all in the world, shifts inward. And they say once you find God inside, then it is easy to see God everywhere in the world. And Mucchati dhira petyasman loka amrita bhavanti. And one who detaches from this world, dhira, the wise person, and pretyasmat, at the time of death. So they say, oh, at the time of death, I will attain enlightenment. Then what use is it? So our rishis, our Upanishads say, no, enlightenment is not only at the time of death, but while living, that is called jivan mukti. That is what we should all aim for. So when they say death, what they mean is death of the ego. This idea that I, me and my, I am great, I am the doer. That's why they say give up doership. So it is that ego that needs to perish. And idea being I am a humble servant of God. God is working through me. And then later on today we'll talk about that is the path of bhakti, where God is working through me. I am a humble servant. I am a humble instrument. But what is the path of knowledge? We'll talk in the later shlokas today. So that is what the Upanishad says, that shift your attention from the I to who is that which is making the I work, who is making the speech work, who is making the mind function, the thoughts. So when thoughts arise, shift your attention to I, that consciousness, which is what we practice in meditation. And that is Muni. So Muni, as I said, is not a person with a particular dress or a particular facial hair, but Muni is contemplative stage, Mananashila one. So one who is contemplating upon this knowledge, gets the knowledge from the truth, contemplates upon it, gets the knowledge from the guru of the truth, and then abides in that, that is Muni. And delay. See, we always think, I don't think I can get it in this life. Maybe next life, maybe the life after. But as Swamiji recently told us last week, next life you might be a buffalo, and a buffalo cannot contemplate. So take advantage of this life. We have a human birth, we have the intellect, we have this knowledge given to us by Bhagwan Sri Krishna and Puja Gurudev themselves. So contemplate upon this knowledge and apply that and say that I would like in this life itself. I wish for it. I want for it. Not only wish and want, but put full effort that is my main purpose in life. That is my goal. And for that, it is very important to know who I am. If I don't know who I am, that's when we get into trouble. This reminds me of a story. So there was this couple from Saudi Arabia, and they had their eight-year-old son, and they moved to the United States. They immigrated, and the son started going to school over here, and his name was Muhammad Al-Rasul Suleiman. That was the boy's name, Muhammad Al-Rasul Suleiman. So he goes to school the first day, and the teacher asks him, "What is your name?" He says, "My name is Muhammad Al-Rasul Suleiman." She says, you know, she was a white American. She said, I cannot pronounce all these names. You're American from today. You are moved, immigrated. Yeah, you're American. We'll call you Harry. So he says, Harry, yes, that is your name now. So all day she tells him, Harry, come here, do this, do that. So he's convinced his name is Harry. So he goes home and his mother asks him, so Muhammad, what did you learn from school today? He says, look, my name is not Muhammad Al-Rasul Suleiman. My name is Harry. So she gives him one slap, you know, and his face is all red. After some time, dad comes home. He says, Dad says, "So Muhammad Al Rasul Suleiman, what did you learn in school today? How was school?" He says, "Dad, I'm telling you, my name is not Muhammad Al Rasul Suleiman. My name is Harry." So the dad gives him a hard one on the other cheek, even worse. So both his cheeks are red. He's crying. He goes to sleep, face swollen. Next day, he goes to school and teacher looks at his face. He says, "What happened to you?" He says, "Teacher, the moment I became an American, I was attacked by two Arab terrorists." So the moment he forgot who he really was, he got into trouble. He was really Muhammad Suleiman, but thinking he's Harry, that's when all his problems started. So same way, we have to remember our true nature as Atma, as consciousness. But we think we are this body, mind, intellect. The world tells us we are, you know, just as the teacher told him, "You're Harry." So the world tells us. And that is ignorance, and that is where all problems start. So constantly remember who you are and practice that. So that is, I know this joke is very funny, but it's a little bit racist, but it's all right. So we'll go to shloka number 7. This is a beautiful shloka which tells us how we can stepwise progress towards the truth. Very, very practical shloka and very useful for us to apply that how am I on this ladder of rise? So Bhagwan gives a five-step program. Shloka number 7. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma.
Yoga yukto vishuddhatma.
Vijitatma jitendriya.
Vijitatma jitendriya.
Sarva bhutatma bhutatma.
Sarva bhutatma bhutatma.
Kurvannapi na lipyate.
Kurvannapi na lipyate.
Together. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma. Vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanna bina lipyate. So five-step program. What is the first step? Yoga yuktah, endowed with knowledge, with yoga. Yoga we have talked about, karma yoga. And how that works. And then Vishuddhatma. Atma here does not mean Atma, the Om, the consciousness, because that is ever pure. Shuddha means it is ever pure. Here, Atma here is used for mind. So Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita will use Atma for consciousness, will use Atma for ego, will use Atma for mind, and he will use Atma for body. So different meanings of the word Atma are there. So that's why we need a teacher like Pujya Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda who can tell us exactly. So here, Vishuddhatma means with a pure mind. So he has performed yoga, then Vishuddhatma, he has a pure mind. Then Vijitatma, and then the mind is under his control. Vijita. Vijita means having conquered the mind. So, he has done the karma yoga. He has purified his mind. He has conquered his mind and intellect. Mind, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, when they use, they mean mind and intellect both. In some places, they use it separately. So, again, we need to know the context. So, Vijitatma means one who has controlled his mind through his intellect, through the right knowledge. And what happens with all this? Jitendriya. He has conquered his senses. So it is stepwise. Then you conquer your senses. And then the final is Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. See one consciousness in all. One Atma. Here Atma means the self or the consciousness. Sarva Bhuta, in all beings, there is one Bhagwan, one consciousness, one Atma, one Om. It is not that my God is separate from your God and his God and her God. There is one God who is there in all humans, animals, birds, plants, fish, and even in rocks, stones, rivers, mountains. Everywhere there is one Bhagwan, one Brahman, one consciousness. You can call him by different names. You can call him Father in heaven, call him Allah, call him Brahman. Or for a Hindu who has a particular Ishta Devta, you can call him Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, Shri Rama, Mother Saraswati, Mother Durga, Lord Shiva. So all these names and forms and appearances are one consciousness. That alone is. So my Lord within is the one Lord everywhere. Sarva Bhutatma. So one who practices these five steps, Kurvan Api Na Lipyate, even while working in the world, is not contaminated. Lipyate means not contaminated. What is this contamination? We'll talk about. So there is this ladder, five-step program. So one is yoga. So yoga, we have talked many times. Yoga comes from the word yuj. So yuj means connect the mind to Bhagwan. Always the mind is connected with the Lord, with the higher. It can be Bhagwan or it can be the higher knowledge. Connecting with the Guru, connecting with the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Bible, the Quran, you know, all of those, you know, texts, Upanishads. So keeping your mind connecting with God. And how do we do that? Through the scriptures, through this knowledge, you connect your mind with God, and that is yoga, that is yuj. So my mind is always centered on that, as we had said, even while seeing, hearing, smelling, talking, moving, thinking, shift your attention to who is the one that is seeing, because of whom I am able to see, because of whom I am able to. That's why they say, na, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksh Sahasrapad. So that one Purusha, that one Brahman, has all the heads of the universe belong to that Bhagwan. All eyes, all feet. That means all thinking, all seeing, all moving. Everything is because of that. So keeping attention in that consciousness is yoga. And purity of mind. What are the impurities of the mind? Anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness. And how do we reduce them? By reducing possessiveness, I, me, and my. Because if I have something and somebody else doesn't have it, I become proud, I become arrogant. I have it or I don't have it, but somebody else has it, then I become jealous. Or I have it, but someone else has more. I have a house, but somebody else has a bigger house or a better car. Then I become jealous. Then I become angry. Why don't I have it? Or if I have it, I become greedy. I want more and more and more. If I have it, why should I share with anybody? So anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, all those can be reduced by doing karma yoga, by sharing, and by being grateful to Bhagwan that whatever you have given is yours. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. Everything is yours, Bhagwan. Let me use it for you. And then control of the mind is again done when the mind is all the time running out. Again, because of possessiveness. I want this, I want that. And mind is so fickle, you know, all of us, our mind is so fickle, running here, running there, I want this, and not sitting empty even, I want to do this, I want to do that. Like I said, even after retirement, when you should be sitting and studying or thinking about God, but running about here and there. So how do we control the mind? By japa, by chanting the name of the Lord, regular japa, picking up one particular name of Bhagwan and chanting that with attention, that is a very beautiful way. So spending some time in just sitting in silence in the morning, at night, before you go to bed, you know, just lie down, chanting the name of the Lord, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So when you sleep with those thoughts, then that plays like a tape recorder in your mind all night. And when you wake up in the morning, wake up chanting the name of Bhagwan. Oh Bhagwan, thank you for another day, and chant the mantra. And then throughout the day, whenever you have an opportunity, before your prayers, you can do the mala 108. So chanting is the beautiful way to prevent the mind from running here and there. And then, of course, being aware that my mind is so fickle and trying to control it as much as possible. Then how do we control the senses? So they say senses does not mean I see no evil, hear no evil. I cannot walk around like Gandhiji's monkeys with my eyes closed, ears closed, nose closed. No, I have to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. I have to move around, do. But living a life of moderation. Well, I need some things, but all my attention should not be on getting more and more and acquiring. Eating within moderation, seeing within moderation, you know, spending time on the computer, on the internet, within reasonable control of time. That's why Bhagwan in the sixth chapter, he says, yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapnavabodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkaha. What is dhyana yoga? What is meditation? To practice that, you have to have yuktahara. In eating, I should be have moderation. Vihara, in traveling, have moderation. Yukta cheshtas karmasu, in seeing, in hearing, in smelling, in doing activities, not working too much and not being too lazy. Some people say, too much work is not good, so I'll be lazy. No, doing in moderation and doing the right amount, eating in moderation. You cannot overstuff, starve yourself, and you cannot overindulge. So every activity, the sense in indulges, sense activity should be done in moderation. And having an attitude of contentment is very, very important. At Bhagwan, I put my best effort. I work hard, but at the end of the day, thank you, Bhagwan, for what you have given. And having the attitude of contentment does not mean you don't work or don't try to succeed. But whatever result I get, having a prasad buddhi, and inside, after a while, this contentment should come. Otherwise, all my life, I'm just trying to acquire this, get this, go here, go there. No, I'm content. Now I just want to stay home, Bhagwan, and think about you, spend more time in you. Santushta satatam yogi, Bhagwan says in the 12th chapter, who is my devotee? Who is always content. Why? Because God has given me what I deserve. So I'm not what I desire. So contentment. So that is control of senses. Then sarva bhutatma bhutatma. See one consciousness in all, one Bhagwan in everyone. And that alone is the reality. So the God within me is the God everywhere. So seeing that they are all me, because that alone is real. The body's differences will be there. Male, female, young, old, short, tall, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Same with this difference between animal, bird, plant, fish, human. So knowing the variety, being aware of the variety, but at the same time, constant awareness that there is one substratum, one reality, one God, one consciousness. And so the self in me is the self in all. And that attitude is what the saints have, where they see oneness. There is no difference between me and another person. There is no difference between me and animal, bird. Of course, you deal with them differently, as says here, you know, that in Bhagavad Gita, it says that if a Brahmin comes to your house, a wise person, you wash his feet, you give him food. If a dog comes, you give him a bread or something, and you don't wash his feet and touch his feet. You understand the difference, but he sees the one consciousness in all. So that understanding, when a person has that, in that Brahman, in that dog, in that low caste person, everywhere, even the homeless, there is one Bhagwan, one consciousness. When you are able to see, that is called evolution. So somebody says lipyate, you say, does not get polluted, contaminated. This is too much work. Now I have to control my body, I have to do karma yoga, control my mind, control my senses. I would rather be lipyate. Yaar, forget about all these. There's too much things you are asking me to do. Control this, control. He says, but if you don't do it, your condition will become like Arjuna. You will be completely confused, completely disoriented, and sorrows will come. The world will give us sorrows. But if your mind is centered in the world and only enjoying, you may acquire, collect, but sooner or later, anything in the world will give you sorrow. Nothing will give you permanent joy. So, only way to go beyond sorrow is to connect with Bhagwan. Bhagwan, that is within. And that is the only way. As long as you are chasing things in the world, sooner or later, whatever I have will give me sorrow. I have it, tomorrow I won't have it. Or if nothing else, I'll have to give it up. If not while living, while dying at least. If I'm so attached to my money and I'm lying on my deathbed, and I'll say, all this money I have, how can, or my family, or all these things, my business, sooner or later you have to give up everything. So become less dependent. And that's the only way to get freedom from sorrow. Otherwise, you will be sorrowful. Another point is that seeing God behind all my actions, God is the one, the source. Then if I have success, I say, Bhagwan, thank you so much. It is because of you that I have become successful. And having an attitude of gratitude, every morning wake up, thank you, God, for one more day. Thank you for this human body. Thank you for the ability to think. Thank you for this knowledge. Thank you for the gurus. So having that attitude of gratitude, and thankful for success. How about if there is failure? Failure, they say, that was my effort. I didn't put out enough effort. I'll try harder. I'll do a better job. Or it was not meant for me at this time. It was not meant for me. So Bhagwan knows what I should have. Even when I don't get something, think Bhagwan's hand is there. Did I tell there are four things Bhagwan can do when I ask? I don't know if I told it or not, but I heard it very deeply from Swami Aparajitananda. He says, when I ask God, he can give me one of four things. He can say one of four things. One is yes. Yeah, it's good, you have it. Or one, he will say no. No means it's not good for you. You shouldn't have it. So either he will say yes or he will say no. Or third is he will say later, that right now you are not ready, but keep putting effort and you will get it. Or fourth, he will say, I have something better for you than what you are asking. So when we ask God, if we get one of those four answers, yes, no, later, or I have something better, get it all as Bhagwan's prasad, Bhagwan's grace. And as we do these five steps, gradually we will progress. That's why even the previous shloka, he says, na achire na adigachati, without much delay. So this is a gradual process. So one time, one lady told God, she says, God, give me patience, but hurry. He says, give me patience, but give it to me right away. So understanding that in gradual time, this will happen. As long as I am on the path, once I have started, I will reach. And have faith in God and have faith in your abilities. So, na achire na digacchati. And one who is working like this, then problems of the world do not affect him. Na lipyate means he does not get contaminated by the negativities of the world, the negative ideas, and he does not get contaminated by the vasanas and all the problems. So problems of the world do not affect him. So beautiful five-step program. So I have to look, where am I in this? Am I doing karma yoga? Am I controlling my mind? Am I controlling my senses? And do I see God in all? So that is number seven. Now, 8 and 9 are chanted together and studied together. We'll try to cover them together. So we'll chant together. Naiva kinchit karomi ti.
Naiva kinchit karomi.
Yukto manyeta tatvavita. Pashyan shrinvan sprishan jikran. Ashnan gachan swapan shwasan. Pralapan visrijan grihnan. Unmishan nimishannapi. Indriyani indriyarteshu. Vartanta iti dharayan. Together, naiva kinchit karomiti. Yukto manyeta tatvavita. Pashyan shranvan sprishan jikran. Ashnan gachan swapan shwasan. Pralapan visrijan grihnan. Unmishan nimishan napi. Indriyani indriyarteshu. Vartanta iti dharayan. So, na eva kinchit karomi iti. I do nothing. Na eva kinchit, nothing karomi. I don't do anything. Who says? Person who is yukta, who his mind is connected with God, and tatva with knower of truth. So they say a person who knows the truth and mind is always connected with God, he does nothing. Says manyeta, that's what he thinks. When does he say, I do nothing? Pashyan, while seeing. Shrunvan, while listening. Sprishan, while touching. Jigran, while smelling. Ashnan, while eating. Gachan, while moving. Swapan, while sleeping. Shwasan, while breathing. Pralapan, while talking. Visrejan, giving up. Grihnan, holding on. Unmishan, opening the eyes. Nimishan, closing the eyes. So all activities that we do, Bhagwan has listed them. And why? Because we'll talk about it. And what does he say? While doing these activities, what does the wise person say? Indriyani, indriyartheshu. All the senses are working in the sense objects. Vartanta, they are working, they are moving in the sense objects, my senses, iti dharayan. He has clear understanding of that. So why does Bhagwan say pashyan, shrunvan, sprishan, all that? Because those are the sense organs. So while seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, this person is with that understanding. Then ashnan gachan, then eating, moving. That's my organs of action. Eating, swallowing, moving. Swapan shwasan. Those are activities of my mind. Sleeping, dreaming. So my sense organs, when my organs of action are working, when my mind is working, pralapan visrijan grihnan. So talking again becomes my organ of action. Pralapan visrijan grihnan, holding and giving up. Those are my hands. Unmishan nimishan api. My eyes are opening and closing. So Bhagavan says, whether you are using the sense organs, organs of action, your mind, intellect, ego, ahankar, memory, even when all of those are working, even when your ego is working, the person understands, I do nothing. So he says, I do nothing means what? Does he just sit there and do nothing? No, he understands that there is Atma or consciousness, which because of that presence of that Bhagwan or consciousness, I'm able to see, I'm able to hear, I'm able to talk, I'm able to move, I'm able to hold. So constant remembrance of that higher power and abiding in that truth. And it can be of two ways. One is, as we said, a bhakta. It says, Bhagwan is doing everything, I do nothing. Bhagwan is working through me, I am a humble instrument. That is a devotee. And a man of wisdom says, I am that consciousness, I am that Om. That is my true nature. My body, mind, intellect, senses are all working because of the presence of me, the consciousness. So I don't do anything. My body works, my mind works, my intellect works, my senses work. Everything is happening in my presence. I myself do nothing. So in both, the sense of doership is gone. Kartahood, that I am the karta, I am the doer, is gone in both. And then he watches. He does not mean that he doesn't do anything, but he has no doership or ownership of that. Example they give is electricity. Electricity does not do anything. Electricity is just there in the wires. But when electricity, when we put on the light, the bulb shines, then you connect it with a heater and it heats the room. Connect electricity with the air conditioner, it cools the room. Electricity says, I do nothing. I am just there. But in my presence, the bulb gives light, the heater gives heat, the cooler gives cooling, the refrigerator. So all equipments are working, but electricity says, I do nothing. It is in the presence of electricity that all equipments work. So same way, it is in the presence of consciousness that our body, mind, intellect work. The moment this consciousness is no longer functioning through us, then this person is said to be dead and has to be taken to the funeral ground. So same way, the moment you shut off the electric switch, turn off the button, the lights will go off, the heater will go off, the cooler will go off. So it is in the presence of electricity. So it is in the presence of consciousness that the person is not working. The body, mind, intellect fail to work. And does the wise person, so then how about if somebody does bad things? You know, somebody does bad thing and said, I do nothing. You know, it is God working through me. God has made me do it. If God was not there, I would not have done this wrong thing. It is like saying if there was gasoline in the car, that's why I went to the bar, got drunk and killed somebody. So it is the gasoline you have to blame, your honor, not me. Because if there was no gasoline in my car, I wouldn't have driven to the bar. I wouldn't have got drunk. I wouldn't have killed. No. The gasoline will provide the energy. It is up to me where I take the car, to the bar or to the church or to the temple. So similarly, it is Bhagwan has given us the ability, the energy to work and do all that you are required to do. A wise person, first of all, will not do bad things who has this understanding. And secondly, even if something wrong has happened, He understands, yes, something wrong, something bad has happened. He apologizes to that person, apologizes to God, and tries to correct himself. So all the time centered upon the self, the understanding that I am that Atma, the consciousness, she keep your attention on that, and then work in the world. And when thoughts arise, you say, okay, thoughts arise because of me, be a witness. And then do not let your thoughts, your emotions distract you, take you away from your goal. Don't say, today I am supposed to get up to meditate, but I don't feel like, you know. No, not no feel like. Whatever is right, whatever I am supposed to do, doing that. And how does he see, deal with the world? He says, like a mirage. Beautiful example they always give of a mirage, that there is a traveler in the desert and his water has run out. You know, he didn't bring enough water and he's very thirsty and he's going on a camel or a jeep or whatever and he has no water and he stops. And then in the distance, he sees some what looks like water and he runs for that. And he goes there and he finds that it is sand. It was the reflection of the sun upon the sand, which made it shiny and made it look like there is water. Now, having known that this is sand and not water, will he try to put it in his mouth to satisfy his thirst? No, because he knows that true water is not in this sand. And so he will not chase after this mirage that trying to get more and all. So same way, having seen that this world is an illusion, is a mirage, and is not going to give me permanent happiness, is not going to give me permanent joy. And just as he neglects the sand and looks for true water in an oasis, so same way you and I should not look for happiness in the world. Yes, the world may give us some temporary joy, some temporary happiness, but just as true water is only in the oasis, same way true happiness or joy is within, because my nature is anand. You know, they say sat, chit, anand, existence, consciousness, bliss. That is the nature of God. That is the nature of Brahman. And that is my true nature. So once I have found the joy within, the bliss within, the anand within, then the worldly joys I will not chase after. Just as a person who has detected true source of water in the oasis will not then be distracted by these lights in the, you know, in the sun shining on the sand in the mirage. So look at this world as a mirage. You deal with the world. We're not saying you run away. You cannot. You have to deal with the world. But do not look for permanence in the world, whether it's a person, will he give me permanent joy, won't happen. An object will give me permanent joy, won't happen. A position or power will give me permanent joy, won't happen. Temporarily you will get, and that is okay, but true permanent joy or bliss can only be found within, can only be found in God, can only be found in this knowledge. So understand, I am of the nature of Anand, and I do not need the world to make me happy. If somebody is nice to me, fine. If somebody is not nice, I am still fine because I am of the nature of bliss or Anand. So this understanding we have talked about before, but why do they keep on repeating? Because it says that it's not going to happen right away. It will happen gradually. Gradually, just as a river, you know, going through Grand Canyon, how many billions of years the Colorado River took to make that huge Grand Canyon 7,000 feet below, you know. So same way, this knowledge has to make grooves in our mind, so that our thinking should change, and that will happen gradually. So today we have seen that this knowledge is gradual and it is stepwise, yoga, sannyas, and sankhya, and the 5-point program that Bhagwan gave us, and then how one should live in the world but remain detached. And this remaining detached, the next verse, which we will do next week, number 10, is one of the few most powerful verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll cover that next week. So please read it. Now we have 10 minutes if anybody has any questions or comments. I will try to get people on Zoom. Let's see. Yeah, okay. We have the gallery view. Anybody from Zoom or anybody here in the audience would like to add or have any questions or comments? Anything you agree, disagree with? Krishna, you would like to a couple of minutes, just a short, very quick summary, and if any questions you have, comments.
Hari Om, Anilji. Thank you very much. So today, chapter 5, verse 6.
7, 8, and 9.
I'm sorry. 6, 7, 8, and 9. So renunciation is difficult to achieve without selfless action, but the wise person purified by karma yoga quickly attains the supreme. So meaning the Krishna explains that giving up action prematurely is dangerous. Most people cannot maintain inner stillness without purifying the mind through duty and discipline. By performing selfless action and surrendering its results, one's heart becomes pure and ready for enlightenment. Then one who is devoted to karma yoga, whose mind is pure, who has conquered the senses, realized the self, remains unattached by action, even while acting. So it's the metaphor is like, you know, a lotus where it lives detached in midst of all the impurities, rooted in the world, untouched by all the impurities.
Right.
Then verse number 8, the enlightened person, knowing the truth of self, thinks I do nothing at all, even while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, walking, sleeping, waking and talking. Or
thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Anybody else in the Zoom?
Okay. I was just going to say, you know, my brother many decades ago gave me a little carved statue that I have it in the bathroom, but it has, you know, the three monkeys with the hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. And I've looked at it through the many years, and I've wondered if he meant it for me specifically, or whether it's just he just thought it was cute, you know. And but I've often looked at it and I've thought, you know, yeah, I should be more careful about, you know, staying away from certain things and what I say. So it's been really useful. Though I do think that maybe rather than monkeys, maybe they should just have the humans going like that, you know, three statues of humans. Okay, that's all I have.
Good. Thank you.
I have a question in the eight, I do nothing at all. And you did discuss, is that the wise person looks at it two ways, that I am the self and I'm just the presence, this body through body, mind and intellect. I'm performing in the world, but I'm not part of it. And the second one, the wise ones who would say, through this BMI is self-working. So which one, what idea is that when it specifically says I do nothing at all in this context, please.
He's all the time attached to the self, and he knows I am the Atma, the self. And the body, mind, intellect are working, but I am not doing anything. So the idea that, and obviously the body, mind, intellect are working because of the presence of the self. He knows, but his attention is always on the self. And so then he doesn't get bound, doesn't get caught, and is able to detach from the world. And then the world will not bother him, will not give him problems. He's able to find the joy within. So that.
Okay. Thank you.
Madhu, you have a question or comment?
Hi, Hariom Anilji. Anilji, can you please explain a little bit more about Sat Chit Anand? I know I say it runningly, very, very randomly also, but I don't quite understand. And I could not, follow quite the English translation of that. You said existence, consciousness, and joy. Sat Chit Anand, or what is it?
Existence, consciousness, and bliss. So
and
those,
bliss.
That is, Brahman is those three things. Existence means ever existing. Ever Brahman is always there, ever existing. And whatever exists is that Brahman's manifestation, Brahman appearing as all this. So as existence, so if this computer exists, this mic exists, if I exist, you exist, it is because of existence, because of Brahman, that is Sat. Then Chit is awareness or consciousness. So whatever I can know with my mind, intellect, my knowing is limited, Brahman is infinite. Brahman knows everything. That's why God knows everything, even my thoughts, even before they have become thoughts, or before I have spoken, God knows what I'm going to speak. So that is awareness or consciousness. So that is conscious is because of Brahman. So existence, consciousness, which means awareness, which means knowledge. And then Anand. Anand means bliss. So Anand means, your last name is Anand.
Yeah. That's why I get intrigued with it.
So Anand means bliss. See, there is one thing called joy or happiness. Joy or what I get in the world. I'm hungry, I get a nice meal, I'm happy, or I'm thirsty, I get an orange juice or ice cream or something. So, or I get buy a new jewelry or a new car. Those are joy or happiness from the world. But Anand is that inner state of bliss where I'm constantly in that state of bliss. And then I do not depend on the world for my happiness. Does not mean he's like a stone. You give him something good, he doesn't get happy. Something bad. No, thing he knows that in the world, joys and sorrows will be there. But he does not get perturbed. Na lipyate. Then the worldly situations cannot bother him because he has found joy within. It's like electricity. I depend on the electricity from PG&E, but tomorrow I have a generator I install in my house because the power, nowadays they don't install generator, they install that wall, which is the solar wall, which can give you enough electricity for 24 hours. So if the PG&E is there, I use it. If PG&E is not there, I use my wall so that my has all its electricity and all. So same way, that is Anand, is that inner bliss, where if the world gives me happiness, theek hai. If it doesn't give me, I am still happy. So that is Sat Chit Anand, ever existing, all knowing, and all blissful.
Okay.
We'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet, Om Asatoma Satgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Vidyorma Amritam Gamaya, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha, Hari Om. Thank you so much. Hari Om.